So with smart marts, they're able to unlock this cooler with their digital wallet and open it up and actually interact with the products, just like they would at a convenience store. So you can sell anything you want. There are no coils, so there are no size or shape restrictions. It really opens up. That's one of the things we like about this, is seeing people's creativity to sell anything they want to sell.
All right, welcome back to The Pursuit of Profit. Today's guest is Jeff Marsh, founder of Smart Market Solutions, a company that's flipping the script on traditional vending machines. Forget the days of dusty snack machines and break rooms. Jeff's building a modern, tech-enabled retail solution powered by AI vision. These aren't vending machines. They're smart marts. They're AI-powered, unattended micro-retail units offering fresh food, drinks, and dry goods in high traffic locations. He's helping entrepreneurs launch flexible, scalable businesses with no employees, no franchise fees, no royalties, no long-term real estate commitments, and really no rules. You also get part-time freedom and full-time potential. And the best part? You grow at your own pace and on your own terms. In this episode, we'll dive into the rise of unattended retail, how this technology works exactly, and what it really takes to turn smart marts into serious money. If you're looking for freedom, automation, and fast-moving industry that doesn't sleep, this conversation's for you. All right, let's get into it. I want to begin with, on the surface, vending sounds simple. Place a machine, we're going to fill it with product, we're going to collect the cash. But what Smart Market Solutions is, you seem to be playing a different game, more of a strategic game, latching on to AI. For the investors listening right now, what makes the modern version of vending like a compelling business case today?
Well, you know, it really is quite different. You know, as I meet with different people, like if I'm standing in front of one of our smart marts and I'm saying, this doesn't look like a vending machine because it's not a vending machine. And it's really kind of the AI convenience store replacement for vending machines. So, you know, vending machines are great. I founded the company 26 years ago. We've been doing vending a long time. We've helped 10,000 people start a vending business. And it's a great business and it has lots of advantages, but we made the change from vending machines to smart marts really for a couple of reasons. And one of them, the big ones was, or big reason was, our operators are going to make more money with smart marts than they could make with vending machines. Vending machines it's kind of like window shopping, right? You're on one side of the glass and the products are on the other side. And you're like, ooh, I think I want that, but I'm not sure. I'm not allowed to touch it till after I buy it. So with smart marts, they're able to unlock this cooler with their digital wallet and open it up and actually interact with the products, just like they would at a convenience store. They can pull a product out, look at it and say, no, that has gluten. I'm going to put that back. So it's a whole different world. And because of that retail feel, what the stats show is the average person using a vending machine buys one product. The average person using a smart mart buys two. So you get twice the revenue for the same number of customers.
That's interesting. So I like that. So I didn't really understand that the healthy you vending. Now I understand. You've changed to Smart Market Solutions. Market being the market, the mart, right? You're getting away from the word vending. You're not even classifying yourself as a vending brand. You're a smart market brand, like a mart. I didn't put that together, I'll be honest with you, until just now.
It is. I mean, some people, we're still categorized in different states with business opportunity laws, or states with, you know, how they, you know, do you have to have a license? We're still kind of lumped in with vending machine because no one knows how to categorize us. It's a whole new category, but it really is quite different. You know, vending is, you know, we say if you can touch it before you buy it, that's retail. If you can't, that's vending.
Interesting. So this is, yeah, you're kind of a disruptor. You're creating a new category and you're leveraging AI, you're leveraging technology. So now I have to drill down on this, right? So now I'm clear on the name change. I mean, you were invested in, just for the audience, like we're speaking to the founder, and many of you know it as Healthy You Vending. This was a huge brand. And you then changed the name, I believe this year, to Smart Market Solutions, correct?
Correct. Yeah, we actually sold the first healthy vending machines in the nation in 2007. There were no healthy vending machines before that. We kind of started that whole splinter of the industry of healthy vending. And we were kind of the kings of healthy vending. And we loved doing healthy vending. And it's not like we're out of healthy vending. I mean, a lot of our operators are going to continue to do healthy vending. They're just going to do it with this better way of providing the technology to the employees and guests of different locations.
All right, good. I was wondering if you abandoned the healthy part, and you did not. All right, understand. I like it. So I want to drill down now on the transaction and the protection to the operator. So I walk into, let's just call it a college. So just for consistency, we're on a college campus and I see this, I'm going to refer to it as a vending machine. And I walk up to it and I'm able to take my phone out, scan something, and is it holding a dollar value like at a gas station? You know, I only had $60 worth of gas, but it's holding $150. Are you doing anything like that?
Sure. And vending does that too. With a typical vending machine, there's a pre-authorization amount that the vending machine owner gets to decide on. The same thing is happening here. But what's different, so with this, it looks just like a cooler at a convenience store. The only difference is it's locked. And so when they walk up to it, there's a QR code, and there are little instructions if they've never used it before. They scan that QR code, and it takes them to whatever they have in their digital wallet, Google Pay, Apple Pay, Samsung Pay, whatever it is. And when it sees that wallet, it looks and makes sure that pre-authorization amount is there, it says, okay, I'm going to unlock this cooler now. And it unlocks. And then the person can open it and start interacting with the products. And there are AI computer vision cameras. So it's tracking everything that's happening. So it can see you, Cliff. It can see you take out that sandwich. It can see you take out the chips. It can see you take out the drink. Oh, wait a second. I don't want this drink. I'm going to put that drink back. And gosh, I like these chips better with that drink. So I'm going to put those chips back and grab these other chips. It's tracking all of that. And when you're done, you simply walk away and the door shuts. And it locks, and it's charging your card immediately for everything you took out and didn't put back. And the great thing is, all this is on your phone. So you're looking at your phone, and it's telling you what things cost, and it's telling you, here's your sandwich, here's your salad, here's your drink, here's your sales tax, because that's a big change with this. With vending, they could never charge sales tax. So that sales tax came out of the operator's profits. With this, we're charging sales tax just like in a convenience store. So it's keeping a lot more money in the operator's pocket.
Most people don't get the full story when they start exploring franchising. So they make mistakes that cost them big. That's why my business partner, Justin Guevara, and I wrote Beyond the Brand, The Entrepreneur's Guide to Fearless Franchising. It is our proven six-step process at Franosity to help you find the right franchise, avoid costly pitfalls, and build a business that truly fits your goals. Grab your copy of Beyond the Brand on Amazon or any major book retailer and start building your future fearlessly.
Is this proprietary? This technology, cameras, AI, all this, is this the machines? Like you said, they're not vending machines. They're like coolers. Did you invent this? Are we patented? Is it proprietary?
We work with a great technology partner who created this technology. They've put 10,000 of these out for Coke and Pepsi in 25 countries in Europe. So they've been doing this for about 6 years. So sometimes people ask, gosh, is this new technology? Do I want to be a guinea pig? It's new to the US, but it's not new. And so all of the different ways that people could try to, what if I block a camera? What if I try to do this? All the ways you could think of to try to rip this thing off, those issues have all been solved years ago. So the technology is new to the U.S. We have the exclusive in the franchise and business opportunity world, so no one else can sell this technology. Now, there's technology that looks very similar to this. The difference is we're real-time AI. Everything's happening immediate. The other technologies are, they say it's AI, but really you have to download an app, and you have to put in your cell phone or your email, and they say in a couple of hours or tomorrow, we'll give you a receipt for what you bought, because their AI is not far enough along. The AI is, what their system is doing is saying, the AI is saying, this is what I think the person bought, but there's still a human looking at every transaction to double check the AI. Ours is happening in real time, and we're the only ones that have that technology.
Okay, that's a lot of friction for a transaction. You're not doing that. I could just approach your machine, take out my phone, Apple Pay something, and get to work and start eating.
That's right.
I don't have to download. Right. You got to remove all the friction. I don't like, you know, what you describe to the competitor.
And that's one of the big words we use, Cliff, is frictionless. Frictionless and seamless. It's really easy to use. If you have to download an app and put in your email address, people just don't use that.
Agreed.
It's frustrating.
I want a bag of chips. Right. Yeah. I want a bag of chips. This is pretty simple. I shouldn't have to disclose so much about my life to get a bag of chips. So I love what you're building. I think it's very cool. Another thing I think is very important to bring up is the decision that was made many years ago, call it decades ago, to not become a franchise, to not charge a franchise fee, and to not charge ongoing royalties. You have to get granular in the decision-making process and why you said, we're not doing it. Talk to me about that.
I wonder if you talk to our accountant, because every year he's saying, Jeff, you have to franchise this. Get this money from people. And my business partner, Mike Burnett, and I decided right at the beginning we weren't going to be a franchise for a couple of reasons. Number one, we like the fact that while a person gets franchise-level support, they get to be their own boss, right? And franchises are great, but franchises have to have a lot of rules, right? If you get a Subway sandwich where we are in Utah and a Subway sandwich in Chicago, when you walk into the store, everything has to be exactly the same. So there are lots of rules about colors and what uniform you wear, what knife you cut the bread with. We don't have any rules at all. There are, instead of a 200-page franchise disclosure document, we have like a 5-page purchase agreement. There are no rules. Yeah. And so we teach a new person all the best ways to do the business, but then they get to decide how they want to do it. And because of that, people are amazing. They come up with these really creative ideas that some I look at and go, wow, in 26 years, I didn't think of that. But they're selling all sorts of products. So we wanted them to be able to be their own boss. And we wanted to stand out with franchises, to be honest. We wanted, when a person looked at us, we wanted them to say, gosh, I like this better than a franchise. I like that I get to be my own boss. I like that I can start part-time. I can keep my job and my benefits and start this part-time and scale it over time. I like the fact that I don't need to have a bunch of employees. I don't want to. If somebody's interested in mentoring young adults and teenagers, I say, that's awesome. But don't do it as a job. Do it as a community service kind of a thing. And it's this amazing flexible schedule, right? It's 1 hour per week per Smart Mart. So if someone starts with 10 or 15 or 20, I mean, that's 10 or 20 hours a week, and they get to do it in between their life. They get to do stuff with their kids, and they can stock in the morning, they can stock in the afternoon. It's a totally flexible schedule. So we like that differentiation from franchises.
You said something. The time commitment is 1 hour per machine?
Per week.
1 hour per machine per week. So if you wanted to be full-time in this Smart Mart type business, 40 machines.
Correct.
Interesting.
And we see, you know, people do this in different ways, of course, Cliff. We see a lot of people, when they hit about 30 machines, they kind of hit that decision point. They start talking to our coaches and say, I'm trying to decide if I want to leave my job or if I want to get one employee. And it's pretty easy to have one employee for this, especially this is so much easier than vending. You know, with vending, it's not rocket science, but we've all walked up to a vending machine and you see a bag of chips hanging there. There's nothing wrong with that vending machine. The person who loaded it just didn't do the corner right on the coil. With this, there are no coils. You know, your 10-year-old could stock this Smart Mart. And so we love how easy it is for people. And we get, I think everybody that's doing this full time started part time and later they left their job at when they built it up to the point that they felt comfortable with.
Interesting. You know, it's funny to say that because you really don't have all the mechanical complexities of a traditional vending machine. Like you said, all the coils, all those actuators and all the motors and all the cash and the coins and the cash reading machines, which are always down and always spitting the dollars back. You don't have any of that, right? It's 100% electronic.
It is. And it's, so we have about less than a quarter of the parts of our vending machine. So what are the parts that break down in a vending machine? Motors, we don't have any. The bill and coin acceptors you talked about, cash is dirty. We don't have any. Wiring harnesses that are trying to connect all these motors and everything together, we don't have any. So it's a much, much simpler piece of equipment.
This is interesting. This is not what I expected. This is very, very interesting to me. All right. So I want to go back to you for a minute. I want to go back to your account. How are you making money? So normally we have an item seven. Normally everyone listening is very familiar with the interviews. Item seven, item 19, right? Item this and item that. So how do you package the offering? Are you saying if you want to join, you have to buy a minimum of five machines? How does it work? How do I get involved in this?
So we have three different packages. There's a 10 machine package, a 15 and a 20. And there's just a price difference between those. If you start with 20, you get a better price than you started with 10, both on your initial price and your lock-in as you grow, because we do a lock-in. So we might change our prices every year, but 10 years from now, the person is going to be paying the same price they paid today and with no effect by price increases. So that's a lock-in that we do. And all the packages, regardless of which size include everything. They include all of the equipment. They include us finding the locations for them, coaching, training, software, 2 days of training here in Utah. We build a website for them to help them follow up on location referrals. So everything is included in that. And you asked how we make our money. We make our money, first of all, on their initial investment, but then we work really hard to help them be successful so they grow. Like we have a person right now that's an operator taking validation calls. He started years ago with five of our healthy vending machines. He has 240 machines now, about half healthy, half traditional. He just grew one or two at a time. And so people scale because there's another little QR code up in the upper right-hand corner that says, scan this code to see how you can get a Smart Mart in your location. So if you walk into a gym and you work out and you go to the back and you go, wow, the vending machine's gone. What's this thing? Wow, this is cool. You get a post-workout product bar, a bar and some water, and you think, we need these at our company. Oh, I can scan this code. Wonder where that goes. They scan the code and it takes them to a website we built for the operator that tells that person exactly why they would want a Smart Mart and how to get in touch with that operator. And only the operator's name is on that website. Ours is not. Because once again, we're not a franchise. It's all about them. We don't want anybody using the equipment to know we exist. We're all about helping them grow their business.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You said something huge. You're helping the operator place the equipment in their market. How are you doing that?
We have two different ways to do it, Cliff. And we've been doing this for more than 25 years. We're experts at helping get equipment into locations. And to be honest, this equipment is the easiest we've ever worked with to get into locations. Because when a a decision maker at a location says, here's my old-fashioned vending machine. Here's this new technology. It's not going to cost me anything at all to upgrade. It's kind of a no-brainer for them to bring this nicer looking, smaller, sleeker piece of equipment in. And so this is a big part of what we do. It's the number one concern of every new operator, getting their equipment into locations. And it's our number one concern. And so we give them a choice. We say, okay, Cliff, if you want, we'll find all of your locations for you. You'll get a great route. You're going to get an apartment complex, and you're going to get a medical facility, and you're going to get office buildings, and you're going to get gyms. You're going to get all great locations, and we'll do it all for you. But we have another option where we say, but if you want to build a customized route, let's not do it for you. Let's do it with you. Let's sit down and look at your area and put together a customized location strategy. Maybe you say, I want to go into downtown or I don't. I want to go north of the interstate or I don't. I want all the machines within 2 miles of my house, and I only want medical facilities. So we give people the option of, they can be completely hands-off and we'll do all the work, or let's work together. Now, most people want to work together. 90% of the people say, I just started a business. This is the most important thing. I need to learn this. I'm going to work with a company and I want this customized strategy.
Are you saying to him, look, there's 5 universities, there's 16 car dealerships, you know, there's this, or are you actually reaching out to the, let's say, landlord, property manager, and trying to get the item placed?
If we're doing the hands-off approach where they just want us to do it, we're talking to the decision maker, we're interviewing them, we're making sure they have the right number of employees, where it's going to go. And it's not just employees. We look at the foot traffic, and we, you know, sometimes people say, well, we have 100 employees. And as we're interviewing them, we find out 80 of those are field employees. They come in, they clock in, they get in their truck, and they're gone all day. They're not going to use the equipment. So we get granular, and we get them to the point where they say, yes, I want one of these. And we say, great, let me connect you with Bob, the local operator. And then Bob talks to them and says, you know, any last questions? When do you want your equipment delivered? And that's another key point for us that we love doing. We ship all of their equipment into a white glove delivery facility right in their area, so it's ready for immediate delivery. So someone could say today, would you like it on Monday? Oh, you need 2? How about Tuesday? And, you know, Amazon has ruined anybody's ability to have any patience whatsoever. So when people say, I want it, like, do you have it in your car? Can you bring it in?
Yeah, it means now, right? Right. If I want something, it means now. Yeah. What's going on in there? Are we doing cellular internally? Are we connecting to Wi-Fi? How are you handling merchant services and the, you know, the payment?
It is cellular, and it's the best out there that we've ever seen. And so with this new equipment, it's constantly looking at AT&T, T-Mobile, and Verizon, so that the moment somebody scans their, puts their phone up there, it's saying, I'm going to use AT&T to process because it's the fastest right now. So it uses all 3 cell signals.
Wow.
So you're not tapping into their Wi-Fi or anything like that.
Very interesting. Can you give me an idea of this 10, just start with the 10 unit deal. What am I looking at as an upfront cash commitment? Can I finance this, right? These things are scattered about. A lot of banks want to know that they can repossess. They have something to collateralize. They don't really know where these units are. Talk to me a little bit about the cost of buying the 10 pack and how I'm funding it and how banks get comfortable with this financing.
Sure. First of all, I'll tell you, we've never had a default on a loan. So the SBA loves us. The banks love us. So starting with 10 machines, it's about $110,000. If you have sales tax in your area, it's going to be a little bit more than that. And we see people get started with this with every way you can imagine. Some are liquid. Some use multiple credit cards. Some do 401k retirement funds. There's a great program that a lot of people are going to be familiar with called ROBS, Rollover for Business Startup, where you're not taking your money out and paying a penalty. You're kind of saying, I don't want all my retirement money invested in Apple and Amazon. I want some invested in my vending business. And so it's this amazing program where you're using your own money and you have no loan payment. So we do that. People do HELOCs. We do a lot of SBA loans. And then we have people who they can't qualify for an SBA loan. They've got a lot of money and bad credit, or really good credit and not much money. We even have a program where we can work with them. So we can cover somebody however they want to do this.
That's great. Never had a default on an SBA deal.
Correct.
Is that what I heard you say?
Yes.
That's a feather in your cap. That's interesting. No, and I liked it using SBA. I guess you're using SBA Express, like the 150 grand and under loan, or 7A?
We do both. I mean, it depends on where they want to get started. The Express is easy. The banks love to do the Express, but we even do smaller loans than the Express loan. So the banks are very familiar with our program. So they love working with our candidates, because our director of financing, Brooke, she's going to tell them she's making sure they're two steps ahead of the bank. She's going to say the next two things the bank's going to want probably next week are these two things. Get these two things ready. So we're closing SBA loans in typically 3 to 4 weeks. It's just a really quick process because we know what they're going to ask for.
That's great. Go back to the machines. So you're making money on the sale of the machine. Am I buying my product from you? Because you sound like there's a lot of flexibility with no rules, and I'm trying to understand the rules. Where are your revenue streams? Like, well, yeah, you could buy the beverages from us, or you could buy this from us. Anything I have to buy from you after I do the deal?
You know, that's another accountant question. Why aren't you guys making money on the product? But we don't.
I got to meet your account.
We tell them at training every place they can get their product. And the ins and outs and the pros and cons, where we really make our money is when that person starts with 10 or 15 and they grow to 30 or 40 or 50 or 80, we're making money every time they come back and buy another Smart Mart. And they're working really off of those location referrals. And, you know, you can think most people have never seen this equipment. So when somebody sees it, they get excited about it and say, I need to find out about this. So more people are going to those location referral websites than we've ever seen before.
Unbelievable, man. Look, you know it already because you keep saying it. You're leaving a ton of money on the table, but you've also created a business model that lives up to ultimate time freedom, no long-term contracts. You're not forced to buy things. I mean, you're making this really easy for people to get into this business and have flexibility, I guess, even in what they sell. I'm not even hearing restrictions on, well, you can only sell food. You can only sell beverages. It sounds like I could sell Apple AirPods if I wanted to, or technology, or something at an airport for sleeping on the plane, right? Do I have this kind of real flexibility?
You do, Cliff, and open it up even further. So you can sell anything you want. There are no coils, so there are no size or shape restrictions. So if somebody puts one of these in, say, in a large hotel, they might have three. One's all drink, one's all snack, one's all fresh, salads, sandwiches, yogurts, all those kinds of things. Then they're selling a fourth one that they turn the cooling off. That's selling the AirBuds, the phone chargers, razors, dental floss, shaving cream, a paperback book. If it's a hotel with a lot of families, you're selling a Monopoly game. You're selling a Lego set, a Bluey figurine kit. You put it in an apartment complex. You sell a gallon of milk and a dozen eggs and a loaf of bread. I mean, it really opens up. That's one of the things we like about this, is seeing people's creativity to sell anything they want to sell.
That is so unique. Let's get into now the revenue, because I think I've exhausted your revenue, right? You're making money selling machines is what I'm hearing.
Yes.
Okay. And the operator has a ton of flexibility. What I noticed on the unit was a lot of backlighting and wrapping and marketing and displays. Am I, as the operator, selling space? Or no, that was for me to brand my concept. Or am I able to sell some of those side walls and panels? Talk to me about that.
So we have the side panels, and some people make revenue off of the side panels, but most of the people are making their additional revenue off of the TV screen that's on the top. And so if you have a Smart Mart in an office building. You've got the local gym paying you to play their video, the local car dealership, the local yoga studio. So you get all of these local companies who say, gosh, here's a company two blocks from my business with 200 employees. That's a great use of my marketing dollars. Let's say, hey, come see us. Come to Bob's gym on 4th Street. We're a block away and we'll give you a free 30-day membership. See if we're the right gym for you. So that's a whole other revenue stream is playing that's these cool. advertising videos.
How do you monetize that? Meaning, is it case by case? This is in a university with 50,000 students. This is in a car dealership with people with getting oil changes and maintenance. How do you monetize that time running ads?
People typically are charging for each video that they're playing. So they're charging the car dealership X amount for a 30-second video. Some people charge a lot. Some people charge a little. Some people rotate between three videos. Some people rotate between eight videos. And we teach them how to do that at the training. And we kind of give them some guidelines, but we have no rules they have to follow. They can do that however they want to do it.
Okay, interesting. Again, back to a ton of flexibility, autonomy, very different from the curbs and rules of franchising. You're not selling the product, so this may be a loaded question, and that's fine. Are you aggregating data saying, we may not be selling them the product, but we do know the transaction? Like, where's the money in this business? Is it in beverages? Is it in food? Is it in these dry goods? Where's the money to be made, and are you aggregating all that data?
We are aggregating, and we're sharing it with our operators.
Okay.
But we really like the location by location concept, though, Cliff. I mean, we could say the number one selling chip in this state or in this city is this chip, but it really doesn't matter because, for example, you may have one gym where Gatorade outsells Powerade 2-1 and the opposite in another gym. So this is a whole part of our training where we're not only teaching them how to use the software, which is tracking everything 24/7. They know what they need. They know when they need to stock a Smart Mart, what they need to take to stock it. We're teaching them how to maximize revenue. So if someone's got the same products in a Smart Mart 6 months after they put it in, they are not working the business. They should be cycling through different products and watching the numbers. The software will tell them, that's a good product to sell here. That's not a good product to sell here. Try a different one. So
if you only had three places that you're allowed to put a Smart Mart, where would you put them? You're only allowed three.
Definitely hotels. I love hotels because you can charge more for any product in a hotel than you can in any other location. Right? Someone's been traveling all day. They finally get to their hotel. They're not going to sneeze at $4 for a Coke.
They're used to it, right? They're expecting it. It's true.
And nobody's going to look at like a Cliff Bar. If you want to get on the healthy side, $4.50 for a Cliff Bar. No way. I'll take an Uber over to Whole Foods so I can save a little money on my Cliff Bar. They pay that amount. And then you have this whole concept of, I forgot my phone charger. Well, I can drive or Uber to a store and get a phone charger for $12, or I can get one right here in my PJs for $20. I will happily pay that extra $8. So I love hotels because of the variety of products you can sell, and you can just charge more. I love hospitals. Hospitals have a lot of employees, and they have a lot of vendors, and they have a lot of walk-in traffic. Those are probably my two favorites. There's probably a six-way tie for third.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Like airports and colleges and interesting.
Colleges are awesome. Military bases are awesome. So many places.
Right. I like it, man. It's very unique. You got a very unique business model. Let's talk about the money being made to the franchisee. So if I grabbed, and again, I'm not comparing you, I'm just saying data that I've researched. A vending machine is typically $5,000. Yes, it's a cheap, crappy, inferior vending machine. Let's say you're 2x that, right? So you're a much bigger number because you have all this technology, you're very different. I get all that. 25% fewer moving parts and pieces. Your maintenance has to be way lower than repairing a traditional vending machine. So there's a, yes, you may be paying more upfront, but the long-term value of it is probably way less. How am I making money doing this? Is there math? One machine, 1 hour a week, you should be generating X, you should be putting Y in your pocket. What's the math on me owning a vending machine?
And that's the tricky part for us, Cliff, because even though we're not a franchise, we're a business opportunity. Because we don't collect data, like a franchise is going to get financials from everyone. So they can come up with an item 19 and say, this is what the average person makes. We're not allowed to do that. And so the operators have to make those validation calls because we don't get financial data from every single person. We're not allowed to give that information out. But usually by the time they talk to two or three operators, they're very comfortable with the money that they're going to make. I'll come back to something you said. You know, yes, you can get a crappy vending machine for $5,000. It's not, the importance is not the 2X. It's not that we charge $10,000 for a machine and the other guy charges $5,000. It's what you're getting with it. It's the coaching, the training, the support, the website, all of that is even more important than the equipment. If you had a choice between having this great new technology and no support and having an old-fashioned vending machine and all the support, you would want to go with the latter because, you know, it's do-it-yourself works in a lot of cases, but it just doesn't work with this. It's kind of like, you know, sometimes people say, well, I just want to buy, you know, two or three machines and say, you know, we don't do that. We don't sell equipment. We help people start a business. It's kind of like if the engine went out on your vehicle, you can save so much money if you bought the engine yourself and put it in yourself. And you had a bunch of videos and it showed you how to put it in an engine. How many people really have the tools and the experience to put in their own engine? Not very many. And so we don't do the onesies and twosies. We tried it about a dozen years ago where we said, man, we're leaving. You talk about leaving money on the table. We're leaving all this money on the table for people who just want two or three. So we said, let's try a model. We'll give them the best equipment out there, but they don't get locations or training or coaching or anything. And let's see how that goes. Flopped because people just weren't successful. So it's the system. It's why, you know, Subway doesn't say, here's our franchise system, or you can just buy a chill table and some knives and a bread oven. You'll never be successful if you don't have the system.
So I can't get into, if I say something with some research that it looked like the average machine was taking home $500 a month, can you comment on me making a rep? High or low?
We can't do that, but here's one thing we can do. So we know Cantaloupe, it's a dumb name, but Cantaloupe is the number one payment system company for vending machines and micro markets and everything out there. If you buy something out on the go, it's coming through Cantaloupe. So Cantaloupe has a data that says, here's how much an average ticket is on a vending machine, and here's what it is on a Smart Mart. And they can go find that data themselves. That's how strict the rules are. I can't even tell you that, but I can tell you that on a Smart Mart, it's substantially higher than a vending machine. So when people see vending income out there, that includes little quarter candy machines and everything else. But if you think that a Smart Mart, people buy two products, a vending machine, they buy one. And you can think about your own behavior. You go into a convenience store to get a Coke. How often do you walk out with just a Coke? You're walking out with a bag of chips or something because it's right there. That's what happens with the Smart Mart. So the people that are doing the validation calls can say, here's what I was making with vending machines. Yeah. Here's how Smart Marts are going to perform compared to that. It's substantially higher.
Wow, that's interesting. Okay. Let's do like some rapid, just since we can't talk about revenue, maybe you could help me on the expense side. Is this a fair statement? 50% would be my cost of goods.
Yes.
Is it fair to say that, Let's use the hotel and hospital. They're not doing that for free. Is it fair to say that I'm paying them 20% in rent to place the machine there?
20% of gross sales is the standard in the vending industry. We have developed a program over the years where the vast majority of the equipment that of our equipment that goes in is rent free. We've been able to put this program together, and part of it is, you know, if you're the decision maker and I'm saying I want to put this in to help your employees, and you go, well, you know, Coke used to pay me 15%. Are you going to pay me 15%? Say, you know, I don't do that anywhere else. But if you've got to have the 15% clip, if your business is going to go under without the 15% from vending, I can do it. But I've got to charge your employees 15% more than I charge anywhere else because I just don't do it. So we teach every operator how to get the equipment in without paying rent. Some people are going to insist on it.
Wow.
Andre, the guy with 240 machines, pays rent nowhere. He just turns it down. But we say, if you're going to pay rent, here's how to structure it. But most of the time, they don't.
I just want to be clear. Am I playing with words because they use the word rent? Are we giving them a percentage of sales? Are we? No.
No
okay.
commission.
We're not playing with words.
That's
okay.
Right. Nothing to the location.
Wow. Jeff, what the heck? Is this fair? Like all in, the repairs, the maintenance, vandalism, the insurance, the theft, 15%? And then on top of that would be merchant services fees?
It's not going to be as high as 15%. First, we have a fire, theft, and vandalism plan. If anything happens to a machine, you buy a replacement for half of what you paid for it originally. But there's a great vending insurance policy out there, an umbrella insurance policy, $500 a month to cover 10 machines, and it covers, $500 a year, and it covers everything. Your vehicle while you travel, your product, your machines, everything's covered. It's the lowest overhead business that we've seen out in the franchise world.
You're unbelievable. I mean, you're dropping some value here. I really appreciate it. I hope the audience is benefiting from this conversation because you're just a wealth of knowledge. I did some research on the size of this market. It looks like a $15 billion market. Do you agree with that?
When you say $15 billion, are you talking about just the smart cooler kind of market?
I knew you were going to do that because $15 billion is vending and you are not vending. So you're part of a much bigger industry like convenience stores, right?
Yeah, nobody
you're
knows
like
how to
mark.
Classify us. We go through this all the time. I mean, this one of the reasons we made the transition too is if a company had three vending machines, we were going with our old healthy vending saying you should add a healthy vending option. So we're adding a healthy vending machine. And now that healthy vending person has 25% of the revenue. Now we're going in saying, what are you doing with that old technology? Take those three out. Let us bring these in. And now our operator has 100% of the technology and they're selling the salads and the sandwiches and the things that a vending machine never could.
You're throwing that stuff out, Jeff? Can you move enough product? When you sell fresh and get healthy, it has a shelf life. Are we chucking food?
You play it right. You don't want to start selling sandwiches and salads on day one. They do have a shorter shelf life. We say get your feet under you with the snacks and the drinks. Then add chilled products. Those are not fresh. They're the yogurts and the egg bites and the pickles. They have a shelf life of 2 weeks. Then you think about these other things. Some people say, I will never do a sandwich. It's got a 4-day shelf life. Other people say, oh my gosh, I love sandwiches. Because every time someone buys a sandwich, they buy a drink and they buy chips and they often buy a dessert.
Average
so
ticket.
I'll do it all day long. But that's the kind of the art of this. And we're teaching all of this at the training and people are picking it up over time. We don't make them do anything. There were some people who will never sell a salad and that's okay. You know, we help them. We give them all of the information and they get to chart their own course.
This was fantastic. No franchise fees, no royalties. You get the support as if you're a franchise. Part-time, full-time, completely flexible. You have a ton of autonomy. Sell what you want to sell. No employees have employees. Very few headaches. 25% fewer parts than a vending machine. We're not in the vending business, right? You've got the technology. You're leveraging AI, which is the newest. I mean, this is a buzzword. You're riding that wave right now. Everyone wants to be involved in something AI. Keep your career, quit your career. No landlord, no personal guarantee risk, no construction, no real estate commitments. You don't have to buy product from you. You can generate revenue, not just selling products, but selling ad space on the flat screen monitor. Jeff, I got to tell you, man, I'm really glad you came on. What would you like to say just as a closing cup?
You know, I think that the key, Cliff, is people are going to look at businesses. They want different things out of businesses. I mean, we talked to someone recently who said, I just want to drive up to the back of my brick and mortar store and unlock that door and say, this is my store. I own this store. And when I do a company meeting, I'm the boss and I get to do all of these amazing things. And that's, we're not a good fit for that person. And so I love being able to present an opportunity to people and allow them to keep their, the main thing for me is keep your job, start this on the side and build it to whatever you want to build it. Get your teenagers involved. You may keep your job and have your teenagers stock this, and you could do this for 10 years and you're still keeping your job. Let your kids run this business for you.
That's right. Yeah. The starter package, 10 hours a week. That's your commitment, right? 10 pack, 10 hours a week. I mean, we can't do that. A college kid can do that. That's actually a very cool business for a kid in college. It's like, Dad, I can't, you know, do this full-time thing. All right, let's put you in a little business. And I love it, man. Go ahead.
You know, that's a very popular thing for kids in college, Cliff, because if they're working for, you know, somebody else, maybe that coffee shop closes at 2 a.m. and they've got a big exam at 6, you know, at 9 a.m. Now they get to, they can say, I'm going to stock machines in the morning or afternoon based on my school schedule. They get to earn money, but they get to keep school first as a priority.
Absolutely. No, it's a great strategy. I'm thinking I have a child going on college next year. This would be something to really keep him engaged. I'd get that entrepreneurial win under his belt and the confidence. I love it. I've enjoyed my time with you. I think it's phenomenal. I love what you're building. I like the rebrand. I completely get the rebrand now because I didn't get it. I love what you're doing with this AI technology. Thank you for coming on the show, Jeff.
Hey, nice to see you, Cliff.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss out on more great content. And if you're considering investing in a franchise, whether it's the brand you featured today or another opportunity, we're here to help. Visit us at franocity.com. That's FranOcity.com. We love to help you take that next step towards business ownership.